I'll paint the dark blue. Ones,
which, yeah, I'm going to be actually. Painting Thank the Wendell's pool, too.
You can use this one.
I'll put this here to dry.
Oh, because you're done with that?
Yes.
Okay.
When we think about Christmas, we think about Jesus, of course. We think about, Mary and Joseph. Mm-hmm. But we think about them only when we grow up. Mm-hmm. Before we grow up, we think about new helicopter.
That's a good point.
or a car, or a doll, or a dollhouse.
Yeah, I think about a lesson that I learned when I was really young. I was probably about 10 years old. Mm. And, you know, we think about the holidays and think about the things that we get, but I learned a very important lesson about giving. My mom, my sister, and I, we were waiting at the bus stop in New York City one night, and it was really, really cold out. We must have been coming home from school, and it was kind of late, and there were some people at the bus stop that we saw, you know, regularly, a few people, and there was a lady that was there that my mom had seen a few times before, but this night, although it was really cold, she, you know, was wearing like a really light jacket, and it was snowing, and her shoes, you know, barely covered her legs and protected her feet. So, you know, I just noticed, I remember looking at her and, you know, wondering, you know, why she wasn't dressed appropriately. So anyway, the bus came finally, and we got on the bus, and my mom befriended her. She started talking with her, and she said, you know, she asked her how she was doing, and she just made small talk, really. The lady was really reluctant to open up. She just kind of nodded and smiled, you know, and didn't really say very much. And then my mom basically started talking about us, her two daughters, and that seemed to break the ice. You know, women usually like to talk about their children. And so as she did that, she started talking about her daughters, and when she did that, tears started to form in her eyes. And she basically started telling the story that she had lost everything. You know, she was evicted from her house. She lost a lot of her clothing. She lost her job months before. And she had very little money, but she had a job interview that she was hoping to go to the next day. But she didn't have clothes, or she didn't really have a lot. But she was still trying to formulate a smile in the midst of telling this story. So as we traveled on the bus, my mom encouraged her as best as she could. And when we got to our stop, we were about to get off the bus, and then my mom, you know, she stopped and she looked at the lady, and she did something that I think shocked my sister and I. She said, "Won't you come home with us?" Oh. Now,
in New York City?
In New York City. Coming from New York, that's just not something that you do, you know, to someone that you've only seen a few times. So she comes home with us, and my mom goes to her room, and she goes in her closet, and she gets out a couple of dresses and sweaters and things like that that she thinks will fit her. And the lady was really taken aback. I think my sister and I was really, you know, really surprised too. So the lady started fitting on a few items of clothing, and, you know, my mom, she's known for the big, beautiful hats that she wears to church.
Cool.
And
I like that.
I just knew that, you know, some of those were going to be off limits.
Right.
But no, even the very best that she had, she took out and she made available. And Alice is the name I'll call her. Alice, she put on, I remember this, it was a really big black hat with flowers on the side, and she put it on and she looked at herself in the mirror and she smiled. And my mom allowed her to try on a number of other clothing pieces. And then the last straw was she got a coat, a long coat from the closet, and she put it around Alice's shoulders. And then both of them, they just had tears in their eyes, you know. That made such a big impact on me. And my sister and I, we were looking on, and we wanted to do something too. We saw how happy Alice and my mom were. And we ended up going and running and getting a puzzle that we had purchased earlier that day. And we put it in a bag to give to Alice, along with the other things that mom gave her. And we just felt like, you know, we didn't have a whole lot, but we gave what we had, you know?
It meant so much to her, I bet.
Yeah. And
That's really cool.
It made a difference. And I just remember that was one of the most memorable experiences that I had about learning about giving. And give what you have, you know. It may not seem like enough, but it's always more than enough when you give it to someone else.
Welcome to a special edition of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings. And that was a powerful story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So let me ask you a question. What was the greatest gift that you received in your life? Okay, and we'll start.
I'm thinking the most excited Christmas morning I ever had in my life was probably when I got my my Nintendo when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was mind-blowing, earth-shattering.
Okay.
Awesomely good news.
How old were you when you got that gift?
Really young. I don't know, five, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That is cool. What about you, Julia?
I think one of the greatest gifts I've ever received for Christmas was rollerblades. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I dreamed to have rollerblades.
That's why you have so many scars in your...
Yeah, that's right. I fell a lot, but it was a wonderful, wonderful gift.
Okay, what about you, Steven?
Well, as for me, I can't really remember any specific gift, but I did get a lot of recurring gifts that made me very happy. Mm-hmm. And one of the best gifts my mom could bring me at pretty much any time of the season would be a mango.
Oh,
and so
wow.
We would sit down and we would eat these mangoes. And so whenever a mango came, that was pretty much like a Super Nintendo every time.
Wow. Yeah. So
join Cross Connection next time and we'll bring mango for you. You know, just
I'll be here.
Well, so mango is probably your favorite
no
fruit.
No doubt about it. It's high up there.
And Nintendo is Sergio's favorite computer. Okay, this is amazing because this is the time when people usually share gifts and they are eager to receive gifts as well. That is why probably the malls are flooded with people. And I just recently was there. Actually, it was 3 weeks before Christmas and it was packed. I couldn't even find a place where to park, even though I didn't do Christmas shopping, but it was packed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but the story of Christmas story in the Bible is very different. Mm-hmm. Because in this story, we will see how the other people, they were receiving gifts, yes, but they were bringing something to Jesus.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
And what is significant, and I like to share a very short illustration before we start. It's a story about Juan. Juan was a builder. He was like every evening, whenever he would stop building whatever he was building, he was a contractor. So he would come to this church every night. He would enter the church, sit down, and he would stay in this church for about 15 minutes, sometimes half an hour. And the priests look at Juan and he was like, "Why? What is this man doing here?" So it was one night, second night, third night, fourth night, 1 month, 2 months. He would come every night and sit there and just do nothing, pretty much nothing, just sit there. So once priest came to him and he said, "Juan, why are you coming here so often? I really appreciate that you're coming, but I'm just asking you why and what are you doing?" He said, Juan responded, "You know what? It's a great privilege for me to be able to come and thank you for opening the doors and thank you for leaving the church opened." And then the priest said, "So what do you do?" Mm-hmm. And Juan said, "You know what? I come, sit, and I just say, 'Jesus, this is Juan.' And then what?" And then Juan says, and then Jesus talks to me back and he says, "Juan, this is Jesus." And we just sit for 15 minutes together. And this priest was like, "What? Is this the reason for you to come to this church?" And I guess this is what Christmas is all about, because all these people that we will be talking about today, you will see how they were passionately wanting to be close to Jesus, even little baby Jesus. Mm. And let's see in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we see the first characters who actually decided to come to Jesus from a long distance, from far, far, far away. Okay, Sergio, what is this story about and who is coming to Jesus in Matthew chapter 2?
The wise men or the magi, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the wise men or the magi. Mm-hmm. Where did they come from?
Far East somewhere.
Far East, yeah. What was the reason for them to come and why did they come?
Okay. Well, they supposedly come from Persia.
Okay.
Weren't they anticipating him coming?
Yes, because they were. They loved astronomy, as far as I understand, and they would look and figure out signs. So they saw a star, and they knew that Jesus was born.
Okay, Jesus or somebody?
Well, I guess not Jesus, the Messiah.
That's right. Yeah, the King.
Yeah.
The King. Because when they just came into Jerusalem, they immediately went to the king's palace. Mm-hmm. And in verse 2, it actually says, what was their first question? And Sergio, if you could read for us.
"Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.
Okay, so their immediate reaction, okay, where is that king who is supposed to be born? Because we came to do what?
To worship him.
To worship him. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is right away. This is amazing because he says his star in the east has appeared and we have come to worship him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when they came, what did they bring to Jesus? And we can see it from verse 11. There is a hint. What did they bring to Jesus?
It looks like gifts.
Yeah, what kind of gifts did they bring?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but sometimes we just disregard what those presents are. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what?
Right. Gold, not so what, but the rest of them.
Okay, gold. I'd like to get some gold for Christmas.
I'll take some gold.
Okay. You'll finally get your big gift.
Right, exactly.
Big box of gold.
Yeah, but when you see these people, first of all, those people, were they Christians? Were they Jews? Were they expecting or anticipating Jesus? Were they Jesus or Messiah? Probably. What?
I don't know. But I think they knew that it was a king.
Yeah.
So they knew it was a very powerful baby that was born, and they wanted to worship that king.
I think it had to be an important king, because I mean, you're just not going to hop up and say, you know, a king is being born somewhere. Let's, you know, travel on our, you know, however many months it's going to take to get over there. So I think it had to have been something. They had to know that this was going to be something big that they could not miss, you know.
It's interesting to think what their understanding was, because they worship him immediately.
Yeah.
So what was their understanding? Who did they think he was? Where did that understanding come from? Mm-hmm. I don't have answers to any of these questions, but these are questions I have when I read it.
And this is excellent, because it is true, because they came and worshipped him. It says, we came to worship him first, and then later on in verse 11 it says, when they actually worshipped him as well. Mm-hmm. So those people, first of all, they were not Jews, because they came all the way from the east, and most likely they were not Jews. Mm-hmm. Second of all, were they poor people or...
No, they had to have had some cash.
Yeah, they had to have some cash.
Or that first class trip over.
And... Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so they came with some presents, very valuable presents. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, they're not Jews. Mm-hmm. And we talked in our first episode of Season's Greetings special that in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the genealogy of Jesus, we immediately see that Jesus accepts those who are outcasts, no matter whether you're Jew, not Jew, whether you had anything, any past at all, you're accepted. Mm-hmm. And here they are, come from the east to worship Jesus.
Now we have to remember the Jews were captive for some time in Persia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's also been a Jewish diaspora that has taken place. Mm-hmm. So Doc, and a lot of Jewish writings, I believe, were written in Babylon. And
correct.
So I don't think it's a stretch to say that these people possibly could have had access to certain scriptures that had, you know, the prophecies in them. Mm-hmm. You know, they came looking for this king, and when they asked about it, you know, it sounds like the priests were able to back them up a little.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they studied their scriptures.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They were aware of that something amazing that is going to happen.
Right.
And they brought those presents. Three presents: gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of people talk about gold as being kingly present, because it's a kingly gift. Yeah. Frankincense, it's a priestly present, because this is what was used in while the service was performed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about that?
And myrrh, it was actually a part of embalmment or ointment that people would be put on dead
nice.
People.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So now this is simply amazing, because here in these just three presents we see the entire journey of Jesus or life of Jesus. Mm. First, Jesus is the king.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that is why they
gold.
Came. Mm. Yeah, he receives this gold. He is a priest.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Because and that is why he needs this frankincense and he's also the one who is going
to die
for us.
Death tied right in with his birth from the beginning.
Wow.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is simply amazing.
It is.
So what did you learn from this far away trip from all the way from the east, when people come and worship Jesus, those magi? Mm-hmm.
I'm quite excited about learning about those gifts, man. That's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty cool information there, that you know, that they had his whole ministry in sight. You know, I'm pretty sure some other people who had read the scriptures actually knew that some of these things were aware of Jesus' ministry and aware of what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these guys actually hit it on the head based on what you're saying there.
They realized it even before some other people were able to realize
it. Yeah.
This is simply amazing. And unfortunately, we need to take this very short break. But after this short break, we will talk about another story where shepherds come to Jesus. And we will find out how those shepherds, it's amazing what they brought to Jesus.
Mm.
So don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
There is a garden in every childhood, an enchanted place where colors are brighter, the air softer, and the morning more fragrant than ever.
Of all life's seasons, childhood is the most beautiful.
Children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see.
Blessed indeed is the man who hears many gentle voices call him Father.
A child can ask 1,000 questions that the wisest man cannot answer.
When I approach a child, I have two thoughts: affection for what he is today and respect for what he can become.
There are no 7 wonders of the world in the eyes of a child. There are 7 million.
Children are 1/3 of our population and all of our future.
He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
Welcome back to a special edition of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings. And we just learned about this fascinating story when Magi come all the way from the East, even though they were not probably Jews, but they realized and they understood what Jesus' ministry was all about. Mm-hmm. First of all, he was the king. Second of all, he was the priest. And third, he was the one who is going to die for the sins of all people.
Mm.
And it's fascinating because there was one person who lived actually at that very time. And he was a Jew. He was actually the king. And his reaction was slightly different. And Julia, what do we see here happening? And who is this mysterious character whose name is Herod?
Yeah, when I was reading this chapter, I found it really interesting that the reaction was so completely different from what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "When King Herod heard this, he was distressed, and all Jerusalem was with him."
Mm-hmm.
So we see that Magi come, and they tell him, "Where's this king, baby king?"
And he's, right? Instead of being happy, he's what?
Yes, he's you stressed. Would think he would be happy, but right.
He's stressed.
Distressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And along with all Jerusalem.
That's such a great point that Julie is making, because when I read that, I think of different people and how they react to Jesus in the gospel now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, why was he distressed? Because he was a king. Mm-hmm. You don't want another king around.
Because
I'm king.
Of course, because he will take my place. No.
So I'm king. I'm calling the shots. I know what's best. I'm in control of my own life. I don't want this guy. But someone who is humbler, like the shepherds, like even the Magi, they accepted it willingly. Then it's something that it's outstanding news, and it's something that you're so warmly and thankfully embraced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to add on to what you were saying earlier, these people, Magi, they might have been not, you know, they probably were not Jews, came all the way from East to worship this king. Mm. And if we look at their reaction in chapter 2 again, in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house.
So here is distress and stress and everything, and here is great joy.
How about that? Mm.
So how do you actually experience in Christmas this year? Are you full of joy, or maybe you're stressed because so many presents are not bought yet? No. But anyway, I would like to encourage you to feel this great joy and fill yourself with this exceedingly great joy. Mm. And let's go to this very joyful story. Mm. Story that is recorded in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And you can help me what that story is about and who is the most important character there. Who are the most...
Characters.
Shepherds. Okay, shepherds. So what do we see in this story now? In Luke chapter 2, mm-hmm. starting with verse 8.
We see shepherds that were on the field.
Okay.
And angels appeared.
So it was during the night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and shepherds, this is what is important to understand. What is the status of shepherds nowadays? Are they... okay, tell me.
Usually it's...
We don't usually see shepherds, just driving across the road.
Okay, you're right. We don't. Okay, you're right. But if we think about the lowliest job, that possibly can be like...
It's very clearly two different sets of people.
Yes.
Very opposite ends of the socioeconomic spectrum. Mm.
Yeah. This is important.
Yeah.
This is very important.
Being a shepherd doesn't require any education. Mm. Whereas mm-hmm. to be a magi... They studied books, they studied mm-hmm. the stars, they studied the signs. Mm-hmm.
So here he is, Jesus comes, and here is those shepherds. They didn't need angels. Mm. Because how did they find Jesus, those magi?
The star, right?
The star.
They were looking
the books.
For it,
yeah, they were looking the books, the star, so this is where they came. Right. With the shepherds, the story is slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they see a star?
Not from my memory.
No, that's right. Not. Because you're right. Because most of the time when we envision the Christmas story, we always see magi, shepherds, star, everything is in one picture.
Right, in one thing.
But it was not the case. Mm-hmm. Because it was very different pictures, very separate. Most likely the shepherds didn't even see the star.
Right.
And it was not the case because they had another sign.
Yes. Mm.
And let's see what was that sign. First of all, who came to them? Who announced this message to them?
Mm-hmm. An angel.
An angel.
Mm-hmm. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Okay, so their reaction, immediate reaction was?
Terrified.
Terrified, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here is an angel. What does he have to do with us?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we? Mm-hmm. Who are we? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you think like that?
You know, in our last show, we talked about angel appearing to Mary and angel appearing to Joseph. And in both cases, the first thing they said is, don't be afraid.
Yes.
So apparently an angel appearing to you is a very scary, frightening thing, because here they appear and instant reaction is terror.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, if someone just appeared, I'm going to be afraid. That's definitely going to be the case. Yeah.
And here it's not just one angel, but it's an army of angels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of them are singing glory to, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But there is something specifically unique, because it says in verse 12, when angel appeared to them, in verse 12 it says, and this will be the sign to you. What the sign will be? Let's see what the sign will be. You will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying where?
In a manger.
In a manger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here is the sign. Mm-hmm. So there it's a star, and here this baby is lying where?
In a manger.
Yeah. Sergio. I love the juxtaposition of the glory, not even the glory of God, it's angels.
Okay.
Just heavenly glory to the point that it's terrifying.
Yeah.
To now God is going to dwell among you, and he's in this... Mm-hmm. A super humbling manger.
That's right. What is manger?
It's like a trough, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. This where animals would be like...
Where they eat their slop.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
God himself is going to be lying in that. Mm-hmm. And the juxtaposition of those two things, it's so startling. What does that reveal about God?
It is. Mm-hmm. And manger is mentioned three times in just one chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Three times in verse 7, then in verse 10, and then in verse 12, and then in verse 16. So it's very significant. Mm-hmm. Christ, who was born, the Messiah, God's Son himself was born, and he was placed where?
Mm-hmm.
In the manger. Yeah.
And to add on to that, I thought it was interesting that in verse 10, if we read, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Mm-hmm. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be assigned to you." So it's a manger, it's shepherds, and then this is a good news for you.
Very personal.
Yes, very personal, saying, guys, this is King, but He is there for you as well. He's a Savior for you as well.
Yeah. And that is why probably when shepherds heard it, we know what manger is. Yeah, we know what, where people are fed. Where animals are fed.
Some very poor people.
Maybe their children are born there as well.
Who knows, maybe.
Yeah, their
families. Maybe, who knows? Because I don't know, because this is where they would be placed. And of course, we can talk about the inn, because when inn is mentioned here, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was in a stable. Mm-hmm. Because recent discoveries show that it may have been the first floor of the two-story building, which is very different. But you can research it, or you can just write to us, and we will be we'll be sure to post something on our blog regarding that. But there is something very unique about this story as well. When they come to Jesus, do they bring anything?
No.
Not that I can see.
Because it's very difficult, because we as Westerners, people who lived in Western culture, Christian culture, we always see even those shepherds coming with a sheep. So, and when we read the story, this is the story that we are most, we probably don't know a lot about. Yeah. Even though we hear the story very often, it's just in our mind
there's
it's slightly different.
The drummer boy is playing from it, so we have to invent these gifts that they brought to him, because there's really no mention of it.
Or like
here.
Elephant is standing there as well, or just a whale, you know, during those performances at schools, etc., etc. So the picture here is slightly different.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that they bring anything to Jesus, does it?
And they're certainly not asked to either by the angels. Right. They just say, go and see him.
But I would like to tell you something. They actually bring something. And we will discover it now. Look what they bring. What? In verse 17. "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." And verse 18, what does it say in your Bible, Sergio?
"And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Do you want me to keep reading?
Yes.
"But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them."
So this is simply amazing because they bring their humble hearts. They bring their love to Jesus and they say, you know what? I want to be right next to you just as Juan was.
Yeah.
I want to be right next to you. And just as Monique shared her story, we want to share everything we want with you, Jesus. And we will find out right after the break about two more characters that are absolutely amazing and that people usually don't talk about during Christmas. So don't go anywhere, because you want to know who Simeon and Anna are.
I know I'm looking for something, but what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, it's perfect time to contact us wherever you are, because This is how you can do it. You can do it through Facebook. Mm-hmm. And even though it's maybe cold outside, but it's warm inside.
It's good we have that fire.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's warm inside. Okay, this is simply amazing because we talked about the Magi who came from all the way from East, and they were rich people. And in addition to that, they were much, much more. And we will see what they were. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there is another group of people who comes to Jesus, shepherds. Mm-hmm. Sergio, what is so significant and so special?
These two groups, you can compare them so many different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on opposite ends of the socioeconomic spectrum, but they're also, you see how the Magi, they were actually looking for him, they were anticipating mm-hmm. him, they were smart, they were mm-hmm. searching the scriptures, and then they go and seek him out, and they even present an understanding of who he was and his mm-hmm. mission with the gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the shepherds are just sitting there. They're just chilling one night, and then angels appear to them, announce it to them. They come to him with nothing. They have nothing to give.
Yeah.
But then they react. They are changed and transformed by him, and they go and tell everyone else that they know mm-hmm. about him.
Mm-hmm. This is amazing, because sometimes it takes about 2 days to get one interesting idea from that one passage. Yeah. And here is this group of shepherds uh-huh. yeah. just laying there and just playing the flute maybe sometimes and eating their cheese or and etc. And now here it is. God's revelation comes. Yeah, right, Stephen, right. What?
Well, I think it's just shows the variety of ways in which a God-like epiphany can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you can,
God's revelation, in other words.
Exactly. You can be in here and you can get the epiphany right here. You know, and then it could be through some circumstance, you know, that you just know that God was in it.
Yes.
And then it's confirmed in something very practical in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we see here. We see the Magi, they studied it, and then right on time, they're seeing here's the star. They mm-hmm. follow it. And imagine you've come all this long way, and here you're seeing the star. Everything is lining up. And same for the shepherds.
This is simply amazing, because the kingdom of God is for everyone. Whether you want to study, please study.
Yeah.
If you cannot study, don't study, because God will reveal it to you himself.
Yeah. I think the study is important, but you know, I just think that it's awesome that, you know, that God was also for those who didn't have the resources, for those,
yes.
he's still able to reach them.
Because apparently they didn't have those resources.
Right.
That is very crucial. Mm-hmm. He wants us to study the scripture.
Gotcha.
But if you do not have those resources, mm-hmm. he will reveal
God
it.
God is capable of reaching
mm-hmm. everyone. Amen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is so special about those, Julia, you pointed out during the break, this magnificent, and the choir from heaven was singing. So what was that choir?
Yeah, I was just thinking, it was so beautiful, because Luke reveals to us a little picture of what is going on in heaven while Jesus is born on earth. Mm. And I thought it was beautiful. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
Mm-hmm. This
so
is
it's
beautiful.
Just so beautiful. It was such a celebration, such a huge event, and they were so excited about it. And
yes.
You know, I think this goes a lot with, you know, I think it was Sergio that made a comment earlier about how, you know, here is God appearing in this little trough. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it just seems like this sort of attitude just permeates all throughout heaven. Because, I mean, how is it they'll be rejoicing mm-hmm. and their king is in a trough? If my king was in a trough, I'd be devastated.
Right.
You know, but here they are rejoicing. And, you know, what the Bible says in Peter, I believe, 2 Peter, it says angels, they said they long to look into these things. I'm not sure if it's 1st or 2nd Peter.
Yeah.
But it says the angels long to look into these things, talking about Christ and his mission. And it looks like as they're seeing this, sort of like talking about humility, this is like a high humility level.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a high level of service. And the angels, the Bible says the angels love to serve. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing their king do it at a level even higher than they could even do it.
Service of services.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
This is simply amazing, because when Jesus comes into this world, he turns everything upside down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The picture of kingdom is upside down. Mm-hmm. It's turned upside down.
How cool is God that they're going to make a big declaration that the king is here, and they do it to some shepherds mm-hmm. that yes. are just sitting right. there that don't even know anything about him.
He chose the lowly one, just as we talked about last episode, this Christmas special, Mary, mm-hmm. who praises God because he actually chooses the lowliest of this world. Mm-hmm. Because for him, there is no thing lowliest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For us, in our understanding, we choose who is lowly, who is not. We choose who is great and who is not. Mm-hmm. No, for God, you are great in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And only if you come to him being humble, you just...
Yeah. It's just all about reality. Sometimes we just marvel at how God chooses these lowly people. But if you know, if you just zoom out and just take a look,
yes.
You know, go on, you know, zoom out of the earth, like you say, you just take a space shuttle and you look down.
Yes.
You won't see Sergio, you won't see Oleg, you won't see me. You know, there's no one that's so big that you could see from that scale.
Yeah.
You know, and people come and go all the time. You know, but it's just people who are in tune with the reality, in tune
absolutely.
With the, that God can really work with. And I think that that's important.
Let's see another person who is actually in tune with God's reality.
Hey,
yeah, and it's in Luke chapter 2, it's the story about Simeon. Mm-hmm. Who was that old man? Okay, I revealed your secret right away. So tell me more about Simeon.
What are we looking at for?
It's Luke chapter 2, verses 25.
Well, he's old, and it has been revealed to him that he will see the Christ before he dies, and he's getting older and older and older, and he's right near the end now, and he still hasn't seen the Christ.
But, Sergio, I think you're missing your point here.
Okay.
He's not just old, and he's not just any man. What I thought was beautiful is that he was a righteous man. And that is why it was revealed to him. There was many people living at that time, but he was a righteous man. So Holy Spirit came onto him and revealed it to him. And that's why he went to the Holy Temple.
So what does it mean to be righteous? If I want to be righteous today because I want God to reveal something to me, do I have to be righteous? What does it mean to be righteous?
I think it means to walk with God. So he prayed, he listened to him, he tried to live a life that was based on what God put in the law.
This is actually very beautiful what you just said. Walk with God. Walk with God. And this is crucial because in the Old Testament we read about those righteous people. The righteous people, it's just simple. Just walk with God. You don't have to do anything to become righteous and be righteous. Just walk with God. When Jesus comes, his first message just who? Fishermen. Just who? Fishermen. He said, they smelled like fish. So he comes to them and he said, no, you don't have to do anything. Just leave your stuff there and just follow me. In other words, walk with me.
Yes.
This is what you want to do in order to
be righteous.
And
I think it's important to remember that for God, it's in our mind, you know, we put this thing on magi, rich, and got all these gifts, and then shepherds, they're just shepherds, they have nothing. But for God, it's not about that. It's not about what you have, what you don't have. It's about how you live your life. And if you're a righteous man, if you're a man who wants, a woman who wants to walk with God every day, that what really matters.
Well, a big part of walking with God is obviously, you know, following, you know, the conscience, you know, the conviction that God's given. That's a big part of walking with him. I think this is a man who has, you know, has learned about God, or, you know, to the degree he knows. I mean, because if you really think about it, a lot of us, there's always some part we know in part, and we speak in part. There's only a portion of what we can know about God. But to the degree that you do know about God, maybe you don't have a big theology major or whatnot, you know, but to the degree that God has revealed to you and you follow that, you know, that is, you know, God counts you for righteousness for, you know, following the degree that you actually know about him.
Oh, yes.
I think that's important.
Excellent. I want to walk with God. And I want to actually follow his footsteps. And this is what what Simeon apparently did. But there is another character that is mentioned right there. And this is beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why it's beautiful. Because we see those wise and rich men who are coming all the way from the east, Magi. We encounter these poor and uneducated, it seems like uneducated shepherds. We see this older man who was righteous, but we will also see this lady. So don't go anywhere if you want to find out what is so special about this lady who was waiting for Jesus.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 777, praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., 7 days a week.
Welcome back to a special edition of Cross Connection. And we just talked about this beautiful story, shepherds, magi, Simeon. And when Jesus was actually born, and on the eighth day, he was brought to the temple. And here in the temple, we see that Simeon first comes and he says, here he is. He's the one who will bring this, it actually says consolation of Israel. What is that word? What does it mean? Consolation of Israel. What does it say in your Bible, Julia? In verse 25. Last 25.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon and was righteous and devout. He was awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him.
So consolation. So it will be, what is consolation? What is that word?
It's kind of like consoling someone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is, he will bring to peace everything. Everything will be finally put into right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything will be solved, all these issues. So here is this righteous man. He knows that he will be dying soon. Mm-hmm. But what he's waiting for? He's not waiting for his riches.
No.
He's waiting to see this consolation of Israel, not even for himself, but for those who live around him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we also meet another lady, an older lady whose name was Anna.
Yes.
And Stephen, what do we know about this lady? And maybe you can read this passage for us, chapter 2, verses 36 through 38.
Sure, why not? Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, I'm supposing the instant when they were in the temple, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Wow. Mm. Mm-hmm. Her life was miserable, wasn't it?
Mm.
Tell me.
I don't know if it was she was miserable.
That's, she didn't make it miserable.
That's what it seems like
she
to me.
She lost her husband.
Right. Yes.
That's always hard.
Yeah. How long did they live together?
Only 7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
she
pretty
was
rough.
By herself for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yet, a lone life.
Yes.
A lone life. 84
She wasn't
years.
By herself because she served God that whole time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. Yes. She found comfort in God. Mm-hmm. And she was, I would call her, righteous woman as well.
Mm-hmm. This is beautiful because this is what it really means to be close to God, to be in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in the presence of God, you don't have fear.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't have tears.
Mm.
Tears, yes, we do have tears. We still cry.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But we are encouraged.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we feel this consolation.
Right. He comforts us.
Mm-hmm. He comforts us.
There you go.
Okay, so this is a beautiful story. But throughout this story, we can also learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this great gift that we can bring today? Because we see those people, they bring their gifts. Sometimes Jesus himself is the gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this older man, Simeon, and older lady, Anna, they also had their gifts. Because first of all, they received and they finally were able to see this Christ Messiah. So Christ or Jesus the Messiah, what is the greatest gift that we can bring to Jesus today?
You know, I think you look at all these stories, there's no recurring theme of what gift you're supposed to bring.
Okay.
There's no set thing. The one thing is that they all came to him. They came to him through different means. Simeon was guided by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Magi searched the scriptures and saw a sign. The shepherds had a very clear and obvious proclamation mm-hmm. made to them. But they all came, they all were blessed, and they all, you know, there's a reaction that happens mm-hmm. as well. But it's the sense of acceptance of everyone, everything, any gift even, as long as it's from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think back to the story that we watched in the beginning of our mm-hmm. program, where the little girls, when they saw their mom give mm-hmm. her best hats, her yeah. best dress, what happened? They got excited and they wanted to give what they had as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So I think the best gift we can give for Jesus also is whatever you have the best. Yeah. You know, if you don't have anything, that's all right. Because mm-hmm. what you can do is you can share about him. Just mm-hmm. like the shepherds, they came, they didn't have anything, mm-hmm. but yes. they shared. They mm-hmm. they could speak. Maybe they couldn't write, they couldn't read, mm-hmm. but they could yes. speak and they shared about God.
Yes.
You know, there's the words of a song that says, "Do you know that true love asks for nothing? Her acceptance is the way we pay." So mm-hmm. Jesus came with true love, mm-hmm. you know. His thing was not about, you know, giving gifts so I can get something back.
Yeah.
He was seeking a relationship with mankind. Mm-hmm. And the best way that you can pay back true love, is just by accepting it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's seeking a relationship with you. Why not accept a relationship with him? He stands at the door and knock. Why not open it? That's the best gift you can give to someone who's seeking to love you.
This is great. This is great. Because there is a Bible verse, actually, that correlates with what you're saying. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And I would like us to turn there. And Sergio probably will be the first.
Will I? I don't know.
Hosea chapter 6, verse 6.
Okay, let me flip over there.
Chapter 6, verse 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6.
Okay.
It says... yeah, and Stephen, you probably are there. Okay, if you're there, read it first, please.
All right, sure. "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings."
This is awesome. Mm-hmm. Because we read the word mercy here, but it's actually in Hebrew, it says hesed. Hesed also can also mean love. Mm.
There you go.
Love. Thanks. Not just mercy. I desire, God speaks through Hosea, I desire love. Mm. And not sacrifices. Mm. And then he continues, "And I desire knowledge. Mm. I want to know you, mm-hmm. and I want you to know me." Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And nothing else.
And Jesus says that again a few times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because he is God himself yeah. on earth. He says, "I desire love." Mm. And that is why he says, if you, first of all, what is the greatest commandment? Love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your...
Very.
Very. And if you want to know what very is, you need to watch our Cross Connection previous episode. Very, with everything you have.
Yeah.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
There you go. Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
Just like shepherds. They loved their God, and they said, you know what? I want my neighbor to know that God is with us now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you learn today?
I like that. I like the lack of a sacrifice, because even from the very, very beginning, we see from the Magi an understanding that Jesus is the sacrifice mm-hmm. with the myrrh, anointing him for
yes.
death. Jesus is the sacrifice. No more sacrifice needed.
No
so
more.
Now what is it? We have all of these stories are a love exchange, you mm-hmm. know, where you encounter Jesus because they're touched by him. Jesus has come. He is love, John tells us. And then... you know, that's all that's needed is a love exchange. Mm.
This is beautiful. Okay, so we have 3 minutes left, and I would like to know what you learned today. And if you, please let us know what you learned today on our Facebook page. So, Stephen, what did you learn today?
I think it was pretty exciting, you know, to learn about the frankincense, gold, and myrrh.
Yeah, but what did you learn today, and how will you implement it in your Christmas season?
When my Christmas season?
Yes.
Well, I think that kind of takes it a different route. But, you know, I think, you know, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, just seeing, you know, the purpose that, you know, that Jesus came. He came with a purpose. God had a plan for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of comforting, you know, heading into a new year. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it's not so much about Christmas and gifts maybe as you desired, but... I think it's just awesome to think that God had a purpose for Christ when he came. He knew there was a place where he wanted him to be. And I just think that gives me comfort. That's one of the greatest comforts I have, is that God has a purpose for me. And heading into this new year, whether it's something like a gold for a kingly robe or death, you know, myrrh representing death, that in all these things, God has a purpose. So.
Amen. Beautiful. Julia, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned so much. I don't even know where to start. But I think my favorite part was that Jesus came for all. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter where you are at this point of your life. He is here for you. He wants your heart more than anything else. So as I begin this new season, as I enter Christmas season and the new year, I want to spread the word of God to people so they can know about him and know that he's there for them as well.
Beautiful. Sergio.
You know, I gotta take it all the way back to the beginning, to Monique's story. And when you look at all of these, the common thread for all of these people is that it's not about what they had, it's what they were willing to give. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do now during this holiday season, during my whole life, is what am I going to be willing to give of myself to people? And it's really moving to see what Monique's mother did, what, you know, her and her sister did to give of everything that they could. So now what am I going to do? What am I going to do to give of myself? And I think the Christmas season, I think more than just preaching about Jesus, we need to be living Jesus, showing Jesus through actions, through giving to people, and in a real way that impacts them, that gives them something.
Yeah, this is beautiful, because if apparently we read it once and second time and third time and fourth time, we always see how people actually live Christmas.
Yeah.
We do not celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Yes.
Christmas is not for celebrating. Christmas is about living Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would like to encourage us and just challenge us as well to live Christmas. And because God himself and Jesus said, I desire love from you, not any sacrifice, not anything else. Mm. I want you to love your neighbor, because if you love your neighbor, you love me.
Right. Yeah.
This is what it's all about. So I'm so thankful for this beautiful study. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Julia. Sergio, thanks everyone for watching. And don't go anywhere, because I will be back after a very short break with today's conclusion.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
I love learning about my ancestors. It makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, you know, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. And this gives me hope.
What present do you think the Son of God deserves? Or what present will make him happy? The answer is actually very easy. God spoke through the prophet Hosea, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. When Jesus was born as fully human, like every one of us, people of different social strata, of different ages, and of different nations came to worship him. The desire to be close with Jesus was stronger than distances, stronger than social stigma, and stronger than anything else on earth. Do you want this season to get really close to Jesus? Let me share an illustration that describes what it really means. Lori Fairchild, a Christian writer, wrote about her experience of decorating her home on Christmas with a nativity set that she put on the mantle over the fireplace. She placed Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus in the stable, surrounded by the animals and the wise men. But the angels and the shepherds were a little distance away, as if they were in a nearby field. A couple hours later, she found the shepherds and the angels all squeezed in the stable next to the wise men, all facing toward Jesus with their backs turned to the room. Her 7-year-old daughter had rearranged the nativity scene so everyone could be near Jesus. As Lori started to move the figurines back to their original positions, she stopped. And then she decided to let them all stay near Jesus. Her daughter, 7-year-old daughter, had it right. Christmas is about being near Jesus, God with us. So this season, stay near Jesus and do not let anything to be on the way between you and Jesus. And share this joy of closeness with God of the universe, who decided to be one of us with others. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and on Cross Connections.